You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
How's it going?
Hi, Mick Jenkins. I'm going good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
That's good. It's 9 a.m. here in New Zealand, and it's kind of overcast. How are you going at your end?
Pretty much the same overcast, but it is 2 p.m.
Oh, nice afternoon then. I was watching an interview you did on Sway in the Morning yesterday, and you talked about how you got into poetry in college. And I was curious, what were you studying at college?
Public relations. I started with pre-law, and then I very quickly switched to journalism. My focus is public relations.
How did you get into practicing poetry, or how did that medium fall into your life?
In high school, I started watching Deaf Poetry Jam, and I really took to that. And I wrote my first poem in this drama group, and you know, it just kind of tumbled into what it is now. From there, when I got to college, there was like a poetry group, so it just kind of seamlessly was easy for me to keep developing that interest.
That's really cool. So talking about that, going into a group doing poetry, do you think that culture and where you are and what's influencing you in your creative process is important?
Absolutely. I mean, it kind of can make or break what your understanding of what you're doing is and how you do it. I mean, at least for me, it does. And I think if those situations were drastically different, then so would my art. My art would be also.
And do you see an evolution in your own art with what you're going through in your own life and how that's impacting?
Absolutely, always. I mean, what's in my music is absolutely a direct representation of what happens in my life, metaphorically and sometimes very blatantly and plainly. And as I've grown and learned lessons, I've progressed as a man, and I think you can absolutely hear that progression in my music as well.
Yeah, I really like with what you did on the healing component. You dealt with two themes that I found really interesting. The first one is water, which is something that you've kind of played with quite a bit anyway, because you had an EP called Waves, and then before that it was the water. What does that water metaphor mean for you?
Just very simply, it is synonymous with truth. Water is truth. So when I say drink more water, I'm kind of saying seek more truth. That's just what it was broken down to. I think there was a lot of different ways for me to manipulate that and use that metaphorically and play with that to get my message across. But at the basis of it all, it's just a direct synonym for truth.
Yeah, because you use it, ironically enough, quite fluidly and how you apply that to metaphors, and that's, I think, really cool. The other theme you dealt with, which I really identified to listening to the healing component last night, was this idea of you have to know yourself before you can love yourself, and love in general, and spreading love. What was happening to you that brought those kind of themes to the forefront?
Learning those lessons for myself, really. Being in a situation where a lot of things are changing around me and needing to be grounded in myself to kind of stay headstrong and make good decisions. I was learning a lot of lessons that were aligned with what I was trying to pull out in the album. And then just trying to figure out what I was going to make my debut album be about, how I would introduce myself sonically into that realm. And it just made sense to start with Spreading Love. It's such a popular and main theory in my faith, and I definitely wanted to bring it all home there. So those two reasons are why.
I think that's a really important thing to be talking about, and that's something you mentioned in the intro on the first track. At the end, you say, yeah, I just want to open up a conversation about love and keep talking about that. Do you think as a young person, you and I are both like 24, 25, that's something that we need to kind of keep addressing within our own peer group?
I think for anybody, it just depends on what your priorities are, but generally, I believe so. I think, absolutely, I think that can help us in a major way, especially our generation. We're so quick to write things off and dismiss and hate because we don't understand.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you look at the world and it's got all these things, like negative things going on, you know, wars and politics and whatnot. And I think it's hard to stay positive. And that's what I thought was so impactful about this album, is that you chose a theme and it wasn't just romantic love. It was kind of love of all types. But then you talk about love not necessarily having a type and it's just all the same. Do you still think that's, like, what for you, what is love? Is it all the same types? You know, romantic love and love for your faith and love for your family?
When I was saying that on that album, it was coming more from a space of understanding that God's love is all one type. I don't think he loves anybody more or less, or whether it be his mother or you. You understand what I'm saying? And if we're imitating that, if that's what we're supposed to be emulating, then that's how it should be. I understand that it's definitely not that way. And that's just because of the constructs that man has put on society, and that's okay. That's cool. You're trying to strive to be better than that. So no, I don't think that's where I was coming from in speaking that way on the album.
Now, getting constructs, like socially constructed myths, now that's something I can really get into. I mean, I've done a few papers here at university on those ideas, and having shared myths and shared social constructs that are kind of become widely accepted.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what you talk about on that album, Healing Component, is to do with maybe questioning some of those, you know, questioning how we celebrate certain extrinsic values like, you know, money and whatever, more so than loving one another and, you know, the relationships that you have in your life, which are so important.
Yeah, I don't think you can really argue that we shouldn't keep talking about that. I think it's just a matter of it being allowed to have the conversation. You know what I'm saying? I think as long as I continue to make music in the way that I'm making music, because the way that my fan base is, I'll never go backwards. I'll relatively continue to grow no matter how fast, right? But if some of the gatekeepers that are indeed gatekeepers, you know what I'm saying, would turn their ear and turn opportunities to, you know, things other than what is the most popular, you know what I'm saying, then we could have that opportunity. But that's the most frustrating thing about it, you know what I'm saying? You know, people like to blame artists or fans or whoever for what is talked about and sustained in popular culture, but it's none of those people really who have control over it. And it is very much the platforms that present all of this music to everybody and present all of these artists and videos and ideas and styles and influences to everyone. So I think, you know, I can continue to talk about it, and that's the way I can keep the conversation going. Other than that, it's kind of out of my hands.
Well, I got to say, your message is music to my ears, Mick Jenkins, music to my ears.
thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure having the opportunity to chat with you about this stuff. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you at Laneway in a couple of weeks.
I appreciate it. I'm super excited to play,
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.